Coming week, Yom Hashem is the yortzeit of the Or LaShamayim from Apt. We mentioned him earlier, and we'll mention it again. The Or LaShamayim was Talmud in Nigla from the Batei Kehuna. Shalos and Shuvos Batei Kehuna. In Pinyas and Chassidus, he was a Talmud of the Chozer from Lublin. And not one of these tzaddikim, which you hear the name, the Or LaShamayim, and you say, ah, I hear that name along with the Bar Dichever, I hear that name along with the Balatanya and others, but the Or LaShamayim was considered to be from the greatest of the tzaddikim of that time, and in some regards, the Malamakam of the Chozer from Lublin, which is a gewaldic testimony to his greatness. The Chozer from Lublin was considered to be like the end of a tekufa in the history of Chassidus. But the Or LaShamayim, and his name actually was Meir. Many tzaddikim, they named their sefer after their names, but his sefer has nothing to do with his name. It's Rav Meir from Apt. And aside from being a Talmud of the Batei Kehuna and also from the Chozer from Lublin, he was like a direct descendant of the Shlach HaKadosh. And from his mother's side, actually, he was a descendant of the Shach as well. And the Chozer from Lublin was himself a Levi. And he said once, and you know, the Chozer was able to see from one end of the world to the next, and back, and future, and past. So he said, when about the Abderav, he said, I recognize him from the times that we were Levim together in the Beis HaMikdash.
The Levim
and
the
Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. Okay. As we mentioned, he was the Rav in the city of Apt, but you probably have a question because there was another more famous Rebbe in Apt.
Yisrael.
Oy Yisrael, the Apt Rav. That's why it's called the Apt Rav.
Wasn't that before?
No. So the Apt Rav was perhaps a Talmud Chavir of the Chozer from Lublin, but what happened was, the Apt Rav, he said that he saw Baruch HaKodesh, that his time of being the Rebbe in Ap was up. And since Chazal say that Ein Malchus Nagas B'Chaveret HaKim La'Nima, that a Malchus doesn't touch another Malchus, even a hair's breadth, meaning that if it was the time now for the Or LaShamayim to become Rebbe in Ap, he says, I have one of two choices. Either I stay here to be the Rav, and it's going to have very grave consequences for me, or I could be a Chacham and leave. So even though he was the Rav in Apt, he picked himself up and he moved to the city of Yos, and then he moved to the city of Mezhbish, and he became Rav in both these cities, and Menuchas HaKavod in the city of Mezhbish. He's not buried in Apt, he's buried in Mezhbish, the Apt Rav. But he's called the Apt Rav because that was his greatest tenor was there, although he was in Rebbe, I believe, in five different cities. But he saw Baruch HaKodesh that it was time for the Or LaShamayim to be the Rebbe, and he left. And that's when the Or LaShamayim became the Rebbe in Apt. So we had mentioned that the Tzanzer Rav said that he knew a couple of tzaddikim, and he meant to many tzaddikim, that their greatness was like Adam HaRishon Koidem HaChet. And one of those, he said, was the Apt Rav. Another one was the Or HaShemesh. But he said that the Or LaShamayim, his greatness was like Adam HaRishon before the Chet. He says, if you wanted to know, to see, what that it's shayach to live without eating, so he said, you could observe the Or LaShamayim. It's possible for a human to live without eating. That's his Kedusha and his Ketara was in his money. So how did he become the Mamala Makam of the Chozer from Lublin? So the story is as follows. Is that the Chozer from Lublin said before he passed away that he was going to be passing away. And before he would pass away, he would be appointing somebody to be Mamala Makam, to fill his shoes and to become the next Rebbe, so to speak, of that Chavraya. And because he made a statement like that, none of the Talmidim who were perhaps Roy to become the Mamala Makam, they didn't show up for a very long time in Lublin because they knew that his death was bitnai, it was a contingent upon the fact that he would appoint a successor. But if he couldn't appoint a successor, then he would be able to live out longer. So everybody made it their business to not to show up by the Choyzer from Lublin, so he couldn't make any appointments. So weeks had gone by, and you know, it's not that easy to escape the Choyzer from Lublin if you're supposed to be there. So the after of the Or L'Shamayim felt a tremendous cheshek to come to Lublin. But he said, no, I can't do it. I can't go see the rabbi. It's sakonas nefashas if I go, p'kuch nefesh, the rabbi. So he was able to hold out. But in the coming weeks, he pushed it, couldn't. And he couldn't withstand the urge, and he made his way, and he came to Lublin. So it was Parshas Pinchas, talk of this week's Parsha. And it was... the Kohen was called up, and I was about to call up the Levi. But the Choyza always got Levi Aliyah. However, this time the Choyza said he was giving the Levi Aliyah to the Or L'Shamayim, to the Meir. So he was called up to get the Aliyah. And the way that it worked in Lublin was that, you know, you look in the Chumash, so it tells you when Rishon ends, Sheni ends, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, you know, we have stopping points. And in their Siddurim too, they probably had that. However, then you didn't stop until the Choyza said stop. If you were the Balkar, he decided when the Aliyah should be over, and so the Levi Aliyah, he was called up for Levi, and the Balkar was reading, and it came to the Aliyah, and the Choyza didn't motion to stop the Kriya, so he keeps reading, and it's going on. You know, Pinchas is a very long parasha, so the Choyza made sure that it was read after this pasuk. Yifkad Hashem Eloki Haruchos Ish Al Ha'ida Asher Yetzid Lifneihem Asher Yava Lifneihem. The Moshe Rabbeinu says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, appoint in my stead a person who's Eloki Haruchos. He can manage the people, go in front of them and go after them, and as soon as that pasuk goes over, stop the Aliyah. That was his way of showing that the Or L'Shamayim was going to succeed him as the Rebbe. No, many Rebbes had different and how they led their kehilas and the chassidim. For example, David Lelever was a very zisa rebbe, very kind, very gentle rebbe. But the Or L'Shamayim was very strong rebbe. Maybe it's for that reason he didn't have so many chassidim, but he was very, very, very tough. And people would come into him, and they would, even today they say you come to his kever, you feel a pachad by him, by his kever. Whereas by David Lelever, if you go with him, you feel a certain, you know, calm, sweet. So, one such story is that the Teferet Shlomo, the Radomsker, he spent time with the Or L'Shamayim, maybe a Talmud even, and someone once came with a piska, a kvittel, to give to the Teferet Shlomo, and on occasion, the Teferet Shlomo, you never know what you're going to get from him. Sometimes a smile, and sometimes he would just totally blast you, like, and let it rip. And but afterwards, the people who would come, and they would really get it, they would see tremendous bracha and atzlacha. So it clearly wasn't just the Teferet Shlomo getting upset; they were very big inyanim in that. So once a chassid came and he gave a kvittel to the Rebbe, and he got blasted, and then he was mamish matzliach very much, and he couldn't make his way back to Radomsk and say shkoyach to the Rebbe, so he sent a shliach, and the shliach came, and he said, you know what, Rebbe, the chassid was here, and he was matzliach, and I want you to know everything is good. Huh? So, afterwards, he saw that the Teferet Shlomo was very happy, and was in a very good mood to hear that there was hatzlacha. So sometimes when a Rebbe is in a good mood, you can ask questions you normally don't ask. So he said, how come you let the chassidim have it sometimes? So he said, I'll tell you a Torah which I heard from the Abderav, from Rav Or L'Shamayim. He said, it says in Pasuk in Korach, the Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's beseeching a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Korach shouldn't be matzliach, and Hashem should take vengeance against Korach, so Moshe has to, patter himself. And he says, Loi chomer echer mehem nasasi, v'lo heri oisi echer mehem. I didn't take any donkeys from them, and I didn't harm any of them. This is how the Abderav teaches this pasuk, Mamero. He said, in order to have a keshet to the tzaddik, and the tzaddik should be able to be mated, you have to do one of two things. Either you have to give hanah to the tzaddik, you have to give him like a pigeon, some money, or you have to do a taiva to the tzaddik, he forges a kesher. Or there's another way, is that if the tzaddik really gives you a big busha and lets you really have it, that's another way to have the kesher with the tzaddik. So So if you don't, not nana to the tzaddik, so he forges the kesher like this. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. He says, they should have no kesher to me. Because why? I didn't take any chamores from them. I never hurt anybody. I didn't take anything and I never gave them any clothes. So that's how the after of types of pasuk, that they should have nothing on me because they never did taibis for me and I never hurt any of them. So the Tefera Shlomai, he says, I also have my own pshat in pasuk. And he says, you have nothing to worry about. Why? Even though the tzaddik gives a klala sometimes. Because Avram Avinu made a special request on this. He says, Hashem says to Avram, Va'avarcha mivarchecha, those who you bless, I will bless them. Va'amekalelcha aor, and those who you curse, I will curse them. But it doesn't say mekalelcha akalaleihem, that I'll curse them back. It says mekalelcha aor. Tzaddikim said aor is a lashon of or. That those who you curse, says Hashem, I will give them light. So those who you give brachas, I'll give brachas to them. But those who you curse, I'll also illuminate their world, illuminate their life. And so that's what he told them. But that was the way of you never know when you came to the Or LaShemayim what you're going to get. One of the very big Talmidim of the Chayzer from Lublin, again, many names of these people which we don't know. His name was Rav Moshe Stenitzer from Zalachov. So this Rav Moshe could have himself been a Rebbe. That's how great he was. And the Chayzer, before his passing, he said to this Rav Moshe, he said, when I pass away, I don't believe you're going to have anybody to go to for a Rebbe. That's what the Chayzer said. So he's beside himself. He says, the Rebbe told me that I have nobody to go to after he passes away. So later, the Chayza came to him in a dream, and he said to him the following words. He says, even a friend, it's kedai to go to. Because even if you have nobody to go to, you still have to go. That's what he said.
To go for what?
For a Rebbe.
No.
So he took it as a message that he should go to his friend, Reb Merrill. Maybe he was succeeded. The Chayza said he should go, even though he was just as great, maybe as Or LaShemayim, but he took it as a sign that he should go. So when he came to the Tish Friday night, and Ramirel saw him, he was upset. Ramirel, the Or LaShemayim, like, you know, I have my chaver, he's coming here. Like, what is he coming for? You know, he was embarrassed that he was there, and he thought maybe he was coming to Shtachim. I didn't know exactly why he was coming. So he had Chalisha Sadasim, and he was very upset. So that night, the Chayitz from Lublin came to the Or LaShemayim, to Merrill. And he says, you should know that Rav Moshe comes to you be'emes. He's coming to you be'emes, to accept you as a Rebbe. Even though he's very great, he comes to accept you as a Rebbe. So, and then that night, the Chayitz came also to Rav Moshe in a dream. And he said, Moshe, here, take a sniff. He had a snuff box. He says, Moshe, here, take a sniff. So he looked at the sniff box and he took a sniff and he mamash such a chias that his Rebbe came in and gave him something to sniff. So he says, and he came to the Tish the next day and he saw that the sniff box was right in front of the Or LaShemayim. So he knew that. That's what he says. He's coming to Be'emes. He's coming. So the Chayza made the Shidduch. Meaning, first he said, go, even if you have nobody to go to. And then he says, no, he's coming as a Talmud. He wants you to be his Rebbe. So when he saw the sniff box of the Chayza by Ramarilla, he says, I see now that he's appointing you as my Rebbe and that I should be Makabel your Mars. So the Divrei Chaim was like a wonder. Divrei Chaim. And he went to many tzaddikim. And when he walked into the Or LaShemayim, so the Or LaShemayim was able to see right away, although he was very young, the Divrei Chaim, that he was like, you know, the up and coming tzaddik. So as soon as he saw him, he got up of his chair, he ran over to him, and he said, Shalom Aleichem, who are you? So he said. So the Divrei Chaim was embarrassed. All the tzaddikim, they ran away from COVID. And he says, I come from Galicia. The Or LaShemayim was in Poland. And Galicia was another, different than Poland. So he says, from which city are you in Galicia? So he says, is that a small city? Didn't want to say. He says, "When who's your father?" He says, he didn't want to say either. Didn't want to say. Because his father was also a very chashuv person, Rabbi Leibishin. He didn't want to give away his identity. So after benching, he called him over again and he asked him again, so who are you? Who's your father? No. So he says, okay, I have an eitz on that. So he called him up for an aliyah. So I had called him up. Chaim from Ari Leibish. So he says, "Oh, are you the Tana Grad or Ilui?" I had a special shame already with Chaim. So he couldn't avoid it anyway. He knew already that it was him, and he was able to reveal his identity. So the story's not over. So the Divrei Chaim, he was very upset that he was receiving all of this kavod from the Or LaShamayim. He was a big anav. So afterwards, he came to say, said these goodbyes to LaShamayim, and he went back. And the Divrei Chaim was be'etzem a tamra, the Rav Shitzer. And when he came back, and he told the Rav Shitzer and to the Chavraya about, you know, everything which had happened, and the Or LaShamayim, and he was the Avodas Hashem of the Or LaShamayim. So the Rav Shitzer heard the whole Maisa, this whole everything which we just explained. And he said like this. He says, "I see the Or LaShamayim is trying to take my Chaimel as his Talmud." So he says, "But I'm not afraid. I am sure that he will not be able to take Rav Chaim from me." So he said, but the Rav Shitzer, he was right. He never left. The Rav Chaim never left the Rav Shitzer. And another occasion, the Tzanzarev went. Again, he had a lot of hana from the Or LaShamayim, and he wanted to spend another Shabbos by him. And he said this time on his way there, his wagon broke down, and he had to spend Shabbos somewhere else, and he only showed up on a Sunday. And he wanted to give a kvittel to the Or LaShamayim, but he wouldn't take it. And he says, "I don't take kvittel from somebody that he receives money from others to sit and learn." So he told the Or LaShamayim. He said to him, "No." He says, I don't just take, I'm also mashbiya," which means to say that it wasn't true that he was taking. He was involved in had some type of a shutfist, that he was like involved in a business, and it wasn't that he was taking money like that, you know, just taking money to sit and to learn. So when he came back and he told the Rav Shitzer, you know, that interaction, he says, "You had mamash nisim that you made it out alive." To answer that to the Or LaShamayim, that he said, "I'm not taking the kvittel," and you made a reason why you should, and you said something against, like you butted heads with him a little bit. He says, "You're lucky that he didn't have a kpeid on you, that you made it out. Okay, mamash, you're lucky." And he said to him, he says, "That I could see again that whole interaction was that he wanted to bring you into being a talmid. Again, you saw that they wanted the Divrei Chaim. All the tzaddikim wanted the Divrei Chaim, but." I should have said that, you know, you're mine. The Chedishim also was considered to be like the Eli of the generation, and all the Rebbes wanted the Chedishim to be like a Talmud by them. So Be'ikr, he was a Talmud of Rabbanan from Shisla, but he went one Shabbos to be by the Or LaShamayim, and he says that all the Talmidim of Shisla were heartbroken that maybe the Chedishim would leave Shisla. So they were so heartbroken that they forgot to light the candles on Erev Shabbos. That's how much they were b'tzar, that they didn't even realize the Shabbos had come, and they forgot to light candles. So he came to the city of Apt, and they were mechabed him very much. Again, the Or LaShamayim was able to see right away who he was. And he invited him to, he said he wanted him to lead the benching. So he said, "No, I don't want to lead the benching." So he says, "Okay, don't lead the benching. You'll be here again next Shabbos. You'll lead the benching next Shabbos." So he didn't have any intention to stay for the next Shabbos. But he said, once the Rebbe said that he's going to be here next Shabbos, he couldn't not be there again for Shabbos. So he stayed the week. And
so, how do they stay the whole week? What do they do during the week? Sorry.
Avoid this Hashem. That's what they did.
I hear that.
So during the week, he wanted him to daven for the Amid. Chedishim had a very beautiful Baal Tzvila, and he wanted him to lead the services. So he kept refusing, and he said no. So he said, "But the Kushnitzer Magid said about you that when you daven like the Bar Dishever." So he said, "So you should lead us in the Tzvila." By asking him to lead the Tzvila, it was like a sign of like he wanted him to be like a Talmud or to become a Rav. So he refused again, and he says, he asked him why. He says, "Because I have a special reason I don't reveal why I'm not going to daven for them." At that time that we had this conversation, So he came back to Pshischa, and everybody was very happy that he came back. And obviously celebrated. And he explained, from the moment which I heard him say to me, he said that they say that I heard from the Kajan Termagid that you daven like the Barditchever. He says, I knew right away that although he's an Ish Kaddish Vatar, that I can't take him as my Rebbe. He explained why. Because even if he heard that from the Kajan Termagid, why did he have to tell me that? Why did he have to tell me that? He didn't feel like that it was the right thing to tell him. And he said this. He says, even though I know that because I'm rejecting him as my Rebbe, I'm going to have more redifus, it's going to be harder for me. He says, because I know how much he wanted me to be his Talmud, he still wants me to be Talmud. He says, what am I supposed to do? The emes is more precious to me than anything. That's what he said. It's a little bit of a difficult maisa to understand, but that's what he said. We'll end with one more story. Maybe. He had a chaver. Our Talmud. His name was Reb Leibish from Ozhrov. And he told over this story, and this is a very makubodika story. And he said he once told over Reb Merrill the following. When he was still a Talmud in, when he was by the Yehudi from Pshischa, by the Yid from Pshischa, when he was once visiting the Yid from Pshischa, so the Yid said the following thing to him. I went to go say goodbye to the Yid, Yid HaKadosh, and he said to me these words. He says, Dover Baruhu, it's very clear to me that when a Yid says Shema Yisrael with all of his might, even just once, the Yitzhahara, he gives up on him and he says, what am I supposed to do when a Yid says Shema like this? And he said that the Yitzhahara gives up and he says, there's no way I'm going to be able to trip up this Yid in his Avodas Hashem and in his life. So what does the Yitzhahara do? Yitzhahara says, I have no Eitzah other than to give a lot of Madregas, a lot of Kedusha and Ruach HaKodesh and all types of Brachas and all types of good Zachin. So that from the Kedusha and the Hasagas which this Yid will get, he'll become a Balgaiva. And since he'll become a Balgaiva, then I'll be able to get him. It's a very deep Maisa. So he says, this is the conversation that the Yid HaKadosh is having with Romero when he went to say goodbye. He just told him this out of the blue. So what is a Yid supposed to do when the Yitzhahara starts to give him all types of Madregas? He says he needs to go to the forest, and he needs to scream to the Bnei Shalom without end to have compassion on him. And he says he shouldn't leave that spot until he has Rachma Shemaim, and take away all of his madrigas from him. So he says, that's what the Yid HaKadosh said to me before I left. I said, for years I had no idea what he was talking about. Not for years. He gave me his hand, and he said goodbye, Tzeischem Lashalom. He says, I left on my way home. All of a sudden, I'm walking on the road, and he says, I start to hear that there are horses which are neighing, and the breeze and the wind and the trees, everything in the world is talking to me. He says, I understand everything which they're saying. And he felt the Kedusha in his heart, and he felt all the Madrigas. All the Madrigas were coming to him. So he said, I couldn't believe what was happening. And then I remembered right away these parting words from the Yid HaKadosh. And this was all Maisa Satan. These weren't Madrigas which were coming from the Kedusha. These are all Madrigas which were coming from the Sitracha. He says, I ran to the forest and I was mechazik myself in tefillah, and I didn't stop until they had Rachmanas Amin HaShemayim. It took away all my Madrigas. He says, there's only one Madriga which I have left with me. And that is that whenever I want, I could take my Neshama And I could send it to dip in the mikveh in the Nahar Dinor, which is like one of the other rivers in Shemayim where neshamas go for mikveh. And he says, and when I come back after that, I'm like a new person. So he says, he was telling over this story to this Talmud, Reb Leibish from Ozhrov. He says, as he told over this ma'isa, he says, all of a sudden, he became gray, and his eyes went up in his head, and he was like a geisis, like he was like he lost all of his life. And everybody was bepachad, like, wow, he just said that, and like if he died. So then they remembered that, no, this, he was showing him the madrega. Like he had left at that moment to go dip in the Nar. He was like that for an hour, and he came back and he says, "Ah, gevalt, gevalt." You don't even know how big of a tainig it is to go and to dip in the Nar with the Nar. Do you know what type of ischachus the neshama has after that? So he says that many years later, Reb Leibish himself told over this story. And he said when he told over the story, he had the same exact experience. Meaning that he also told over the story, he had the same maisa, and he came back and he was able to be kind of that madrega from his Rebbe. Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay. Let's go see Agalina Makari Solomon.